Good morning. It's so good to be here. I love hanging out with the believers. And, you know, one thing I pray when I get here about 6:30 on Sunday mornings, and I say, Lord, let this foyer be a place of fellowship. May there just be connections and fellowship and joy and love. And, you know, and as I walk through the foyer, I see that. And it's so good that you like one another. Novel. You do like one another. And I've been to churches where they especially don't like the preacher. And they don't like the deacons. And they don't like this one. They don't like that one. But you guys kind of like each other. And we're tickled at that. Really, really tickled about that. Well, this is the last Sunday of 2013. You know, this has kind of been a mixed bag year for me personally. A couple good things happened, a couple bad things happened. In fact, a good and a bad happened on the same day. On August the 6th, that morning, we got Caden adopted. And then that afternoon, my dad passed away. So that was kind of a bittersweet day for us. But it's been a good year because God has been a part of it in my life. And I know that many of you have the same kind of testimony. Some of you have lost loved ones. And some of you have had some victories in your life. And I'm so, so glad to be looking forward to a new year of God's blessing in our lives. Amen. We want to start it out right. We want to start it out good. We want to start it out on a positive note. I heard the story that a missionary evangelist told about a church that they had planted overseas. And said he went into this church and he was used to different cultures of, you know, different than our culture. You do know that not everybody lives like we do. And I've been to Israel and I've been to India, fixing to go to Africa. And, you know, their culture is different. But this church that they had planted over there had a pastor and a group of people. He says, one thing that I noticed that just alarmed my heart, that the members of that church, they lied and they stole and they were immoral and they cheated. And it just bothered his heart. And he began to check into it and found out that there was not even one Bible in that church. And the pastor of that church did not have a Bible. He had 6 messages that he preached over and over and over and over again. So every 6 weeks, he started over again with his messages. So he just recycled them. And there was no spiritual growth whatsoever in that culture, in that church. So they got together and they got Bibles, and so they introduced the Word of God into that culture. You know, and as I was thinking about that, I thought about us in America. We have Bibles everywhere. We got more translations than you can shake a stick at. I don't know how many I have. You can go online, and it's just unending at the translations and the Bible study aids that we have available to us. And we look at our culture, and we look at our churches, and there just seems to be very, very little Bible activity going on. Barna did a survey, and the survey said he did research among not just people who said they were Christians. He kind of qualified it and had some qualifying questions about, and he isolated people who were born again, evangelical. And there was about 6 or 7 questions that he surveyed them about, which we would consider to be the fundamentals of the faith, like the virgin birth, the inspiration of the scriptures, the perfect life of Christ, you know, just basic things to our faith. And come to find out, among evangelical, born-again Christians that only 19% believed those things. Now, folks, that's sad. That's sad, sad stuff when those who are born again don't know their Bible. In fact, our worldview is not Christian at all in America. America was founded on Christian principles, but it is not a Christian nation any longer. We are fast becoming a nation of heathens. You know why? Because people are not into the Word of God. So we're going to talk today about the importance of the Word of God in our lives. We're going to look at some scriptures. I was flipping channels the other day, and this may be a little controversial, but you'll get over it. And I come across, and I don't watch news much. It's just so depressing. I don't watch it. But I flipped across and I landed on Fox News. And it was Hannity. And they were talking about the Phil Robertson controversy, how that A&E, he had quoted the Bible on, they asked him what sin was, and he quoted the Bible. And talked about homosexuality and adultery and bestiality and stealing and all other kinds of things. And, of course, A&E suspended him. So they were talking about that, and it was a freedom of speech issue. But one of the things that got my attention was that Hannity is a strong Catholic. And one of the interviewers who was kind of on the other side also was Catholic. And they were debating this, and Hannity finally turned to her and says, "You're Catholic, aren't you?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Well, you know, the Catholic Church teaches that premarital sex is a sin and that homosexuality is a sin. Don't you believe that?" And she says, "No, I don't believe that." And I thought to myself, you are a professing Catholic, and Catholics have good moral values. I mean, you know, I'm not Catholic bashing at all. They have good moral values, and you know what they believe is sin and what's not sin. But I thought to myself, she is a nominal Catholic. Nominal means in name only. And you know, and after seeing the Barna survey, and I'm thinking to myself, here these people who profess to be born again, Christians, do not even believe in the tenets that leads us to a born again faith. Are they just nominal Christians? Are they just Christian in name only? See, our worldview has been shaped by the spirit of the age. What we need is a biblical worldview. And because, you know, what's a worldview? That's how you view the world that you live in. And we have been inundated, especially by the national media, this inclusive thing that, you know, like all religions are the same, that all religions teach the same thing. They do not. They do not all teach the same thing. They are not all the same. And for us to accept people and us to that you know, there's any way you can get to heaven any way you choose to get to heaven. Let me tell you something. Your Bible does not teach that. Your Bible does not teach that. And I don't know what you believe, but it doesn't really matter. If you believe that way, then you don't have a biblical worldview. This is one of the reasons that we have instituted in this church a Bible reading program, a yearly Bible reading program. It's not so that you can just say that you've read the Bible. I want you to grow in your faith. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, faith doesn't come by having heard. It doesn't come by past tense. And you know, and I see this with people who've been Christian a long time. They've quit reading their Bibles, they've quit studying, and they're basing on their faith on what they have heard. Faith comes by hearing That's an ongoing present tense of hearing. We need to be hearing the Word of God. We need a constant influx of the Word of God into our lives, because we are in different places of growth. Hopefully you're not where you were last year spiritually, and the Word of God would speak to you in one area of your life. This year it'll speak to you in a different area of your life. So we're encouraging people to develop a habit of the daily intake of the Word of God. And we're going to look at Scripture today. We're going to see what the Bible has to say about itself, and let it be the convincer. So let's look at some verses. We're going to look at several. We're going to begin in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture. Say all.
All.
Not part. All. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Now, I just want to say something before I move on in this. You can have a biblical worldview and not hate. I don't believe we ought to hate people. I don't believe that we ought to hate Muslims. I don't think we ought to hate Hindus. I don't think that we ought to hate people who choose a different lifestyle than ours. We're not supposed to hate. Now, we're supposed to hate the sin, but we're not supposed to hate people. And it's there's a difference, because, you know, like Phil Robertson was accused of being a hater. And that's not what he did. He quoted Scripture. See, some people don't want to hear the Word of God. And you know, here's one of the things that I hear this group say. And it's their deflection for everything. The Bible says, don't judge. Really? Really? You know, I raised three sons. You know, one of the things that I taught them to do before they seriously dated a girl is to judge. And you daddies with teenage daughters, you better be teaching your daughters to make judgments about the guys that they date. We have to make judgments. You have to make judgments who your friends are. You have to make judgments who you associate with, who you're in partners with business. You have to make judgments all the time. The Bible doesn't tell us not to judge. It tells us to judge righteously. Now, what that says is, judge not lest you be judged. And the ideal there is to condemn people. The Bible says that there are certain things that are wrong. If the Bible says they're wrong, then I believe they're wrong. That don't mean I have to hate those people, because, see, God gave us the ability and the right to choose. But understand one thing. Understand one thing. You can choose any lifestyle you want to choose. You can choose to lie and cheat and steal and commit adultery and have premarital sex or all kinds of sex. But that does not mean God approves, because He gives you the right to choose. He tells us in His Word what's right and what's wrong. Let me read it again. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. You know, there is such a thing as absolute truth. Somebody says that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ask them, is that absolutely true? That there's no absolute truth? That's a self-defeating statement. There is absolute truth. And the Bible teaches us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. That's why He gave us His Word. We have a stewardship of what's been made available to us. Like I say, you've probably got more Bible translations. You know, there's people who are begging for a copy of the Word of God. And we have them in every room. We have Bible study aids. You can go online. You can study the Hebrew language. You can study the Greek language. There's all kinds of research stuff out there. And the majority of Christians never crack their Bibles. And how can we say we have a biblical world view if we don't read our Bibles? Okay. Here we go. Psalms 119:11. I've hidden your word in my heart. David said this, that I might not sin against you. Let me tell you how to stay out of sin. Constantly put God's word in your heart. Now I want to give you five things real quick. Five things. This is just practical stuff. Five ways to deal with the word of God. Number one, hear it. Hear it. Listen to it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. That includes the preaching of the word, like we're doing here right now. But you know what? You can get the Bible on 8-track. No, that's... Yeah, that's going way back there. How many of you don't know what an 8-track is? Let's see your hand. Okay, there's... You got Danny, you know better. You can get it on CDs. You can get it on MP3s. Or I don't know what the latest deal is. But you can get it and you can listen to it. Faith comes by hearing. Not having heard, it comes by hearing. Well, I won't get a lot out of it. You know what? That's okay. If you get one thing that helps you out of hearing it, then you're better off than you were if you hadn't listened to it. See, the second thing is that we need to read it. We need to read it. We need to hear it, and we need to read it. Let me give you another little... Put those things together. Get you a CD. Let somebody read the Bible to you, and you follow them in your Bible. You're hearing it. You're seeing it. You're engaging two of your five physical senses. You're engaging two of your five physical senses. You're going to retain more that way. I just don't understand the Bible. Well, pray and ask God to show it to you. If you're incapable of understanding the Bible, you probably need to get born again. Because it says that the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. For they're foreign to him. It's the spiritual man. It's the born again man that has the capability. So if you're saved, you have the capability of understanding the Word of God. Quit telling yourself you don't understand it. You got to hear it and you got to read it. That's why we got you on the reading plan. Here's another one. And this is not many people do this, but write it. Write it. Let me tell you, you know, you're going to read, and there are going to be times that it's just words. But then you're going to be reading, and something goes, pow! And you see something that you've not seen before. That's the Holy Spirit trying to show you something that you need in your life. What you need to do when that happens is you can write that down. See, if you hear it, and you read it, and you write it, you know what's going to happen? Your retention rate is going to go up. Here's the fourth thing. Memorize it. Oh, my, memorize. I can't remember. Yeah, you can. God gave you a brain that is capable of memorizing things. See, some of you have never forgotten some of the dirty things some people have done to you. What do you mean you can't remember? You can remember. It's something that you have to work on. You know, I use the YouVersion. That's how I do my Bible reading. I do it on my phone. And the YouVersion app, if you got the good old iPhone or the iPad or the iPod or I guess Android, that lesser phone, they might, I guess they make that app available. I'm kidding. But one of the things that it does, that it kind of keeps up, but it gives you a daily verse. One of the things that it says today, and it gives you a daily verse. If you would just take one of those seven verses that it gives you and memorize it, you know what? In a year's time, you would have memorized 52 verses in the Bible. I doubt very seriously if there's very many people in this building today, probably including me, that could quote 52 verses from the Bible. But you know what? You could commit one verse a week to memory. You know what it would do? It would help you grow. It would help you grow. Then the last thing is to meditate. See, one has to do with the ears, the other with the eyes, the next one with the hand, the next one with the mind, but this one has to do with the heart. Meditation. Now, what does meditate mean? It means to muse. It means to dwell on. And it means to imagine. And here's something that you could do. As you read through the Bible, I was reading in Genesis yesterday. I've started over for my third year. And I was reading about Noah. And you know, one of the things as you read through that, you ought to stop, shut your eyes, and think about it. Meditate it. See yourself in that story. Look around you as you see yourself in that story and see what you see and sense. Try to sense what they sensed as this was going on. You know, as you're in that ark, you know, one thing I would say that there was a strong odor of animal in there. I mean, just, you know, meditate. You say, well, what does that do? That causes it to come into your heart and into your life. You know, as you're reading about Jesus, see him walking along the shore of Galilee. See him speaking to the demoniac and the demon coming out of him and the hogs rushing into the sea. You can see that and imagine it. What are you doing? You are committing it to your heart. See, what happens if you've got a plowed ground, a fertile soil, and you plant no seed? You get no harvest. And if you got a heart that is a good heart, but you plant no seed of the Word of God in your heart, guess what? You get no harvest. You don't get brownie points by coming to church. You don't get brownie points by doing good deeds. I remember one time we were doing some Bible reading, and this guy, I can't believe he was this dumb, but he got a little lazy and didn't want to read. So he said, "Honey, would you read for me and ask God to put that to my account?" I thought, now, how dumb can you get? No. It's not the work of reading. It's the act of seeding your heart. That's what it's all about. Okay, let's read. 2 Timothy 2:15. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker. One who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth. Let me ask you a question. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the person sitting next to you. I'm talking to you. Can you defend your faith? From the Bible, can you defend your faith? Can you tell somebody how to get saved? From the Bible. See, this talks about us being workmen. This is not talking about preachers. This is talking about all of us. We're all ministers. We're all called to spread the word. We're all called to be this. Workers. And for us to rightly explain the word of truth. I love this one. Joshua 1:8. Study this book of instruction continually. Say continually. Continue. Meditate on it day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. There's that meditation continually. See, you think on something all the time. You're thinking about stuff all the time. And I know you got to do your job. But if we could play back what goes through your mind, you might be ashamed at how much brain power you waste on stuff that amounts to nothing. We could take time in our day that we're meditating on the Word continually. Okay, Proverbs 3, 1 through 2. My child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. That sounds like a fulfilled life, doesn't it? Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. A lot of Christians are walking in darkness. Why? Because they never cracked their Bibles. Romans 12, 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. You know what that's saying? Don't allow the spirit of the world to shape your world view. It's God's word that has been given to us to shape our world view. See, the world will tell you that all Christians are narrow-minded. That's true. The Bible's narrow-minded. Jesus was narrow-minded. You know what he said? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now that's one of three things. He's either deluded, deceived, a liar, or who he says he was. People say, well, Jesus wasn't the Messiah. He was just a good man. No, he wasn't. Because if he said he was the Messiah and knew that he wasn't, he lied. He couldn't just be a good man. He's either the Son of God or he's a hoax. This is a narrow-minded book. But this is the book that leads us to life. This is the book that shapes our thinking so that we can learn to think like God thinks. Doesn't give us a license to hate. It gives us a license to love. It gives us a license to see through a different lens. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. By the way you what? By the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Psalms 119:9. How can a young person stay pure? Young people. By obeying your word. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 2. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. You know what? As you read your Bibles, every day you ought to pray. Say, God, I'm a baby today. I'm a baby that needs to be fed. Feed me with your word. It says like. It didn't say you were a baby. It said like a baby. As a baby desires its mother's milk, we ought to desire our Father's word. Amen? Amen. James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. It's not the hearer that's blessed. It's the doer. See, there's part of it you'll never grasp and never get and never understand till you start doing what it said. I know a lot of folks that can quote a lot of Bible, and their walk is not good. I love this one, Isaiah 28, 9, 10. This has to do with babies too. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast. Look at this. How does he teach us? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. You know what I remember when I first got saved? I was 19 years old. I had an insatiable hunger for the Word of God. I wanted to understand. I wanted to grasp. I wanted to get. I felt like I was behind, and I wanted to know it all, and I wanted to know it all now. It don't work that way. How does it come? It comes as we as children. It comes precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's how it comes. You don't get it all in one seminar. You don't get it all in one church service. It is an ongoing thing. See, we ought to be, we should never be in a place, you older saints, those of you that have been, I've been a Christian for over 40 years. I'm talking to myself because I can get into that group that's having heard, where we coast along because we've heard. And we can have heard and have heard and have heard, but not hear. Faith doesn't come by having heard, it comes by hearing. It's an ongoing process. You know how long we need to be learning? Till we die. And then we're going to understand a lot more. But I believe that we're going to, throughout the ages, we're going to be learning too. You're not going to comprehend all of God when you just get to heaven. You're not going to be injected with a knowledge shot and say, oh, I see it all now. No. You'll see, you'll know as you're known. But listen, I think throughout the ages, God is going to be revealing aspects of himself and his plan and his purpose throughout the ages to come. We're always going to be learning. See, one of the crazy things that we do in our society, and we got some teenagers in here. We graduate from high school. We go to college. We graduate from college and we think, whew, my education is over. Really? We do the same thing in the Christian circle. We went to Bible school. No. You do that to get a start. You know, if I got a doctor that's going to operate on me, I don't want one of those doctors that has heard. I want one of those that is keeping up with the newest technology and the newest procedures, and the newest medications, and the newest techniques. I want him cutting on me. I don't want somebody that hadn't cracked a book in years and years and years. See, we have a stewardship of this word. And it's up to us to put this in our hearts. Because God has things ongoing that he wants to talk to us about, that he wants to show us, and it comes precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. It'll come. Last scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Look at this. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. See, when you get saved, you don't get all of the grace and peace there is. You get lots of grace and lots of peace. But this says that grace and peace can be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's multiplied to us. See, a lot of people just living on saving grace. There's other grace that we need to discover. There's other things that God wants to show us. There's different realms of peace that he wants us to walk in. Then it goes on to say, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which having been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, that doesn't sound like a haphazard approach to the intake of the Word of God. That sounds like a person who habitually puts the Word into his heart. Can I just get honest? I mean, we ought to get honest in church, don't you think? Sometimes I read the Bible and my mind goes somewhere else. It seemed so mundane. It seemed so boring. And then I thought, oh, God, forgive me. Oh, Jesus, don't cast me into hell. No. I feel bad because... But then you read and something just jumps out at you, and it's life and light and love. You're not going to get it all in one reading. You're not going to get it all in two readings and three readings and four readings. You could study the Bible every day for 8 hours a day for the rest of your life, and you wouldn't get it all. The Word of God is deeper, 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 deeper than you can even imagine. And sometimes we just whoop right across the surface, and we're happy with that. Don't be happy with that. Let's grow in this thing. So here's my challenge to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're afraid to make this step. I understand. I might fail. You might succeed. I guarantee you, if you do nothing, you'll fail. The only way that you ever have a chance of succeeding is to step out of the boat and walk on the water. I want to challenge you this next year to read the Bible all the way through. Now, how many of you are getting close to finishing this last year's or have finished already? Let me see your hand. Several. That's not near enough hands going up. Okay? Here's my challenge to you, is to pick a translation of the Bible. I started with the New Living Translation. This year I read the Amplified Bible. I don't recommend that one for your first one. New Living Translation. Somebody said to me that I hadn't thought about this in a long time, that the church that they were raised in, it was a sin to read any version but the King James Version. There's nothing wrong with the King James Version if that's what you want to reach. It's just a little harder to understand. It's okay not to read King James. That is not the translation that the Apostle Paul used. Did you know that? If it's good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. It didn't come out till the 1600s. 1600 years later than Apostle Paul. He didn't have the King James Bible. Pick a translation that you can understand. New Living Translation, you can understand. New King James is understandable. They're pretty easy to read. Pick a plan. If you can get YouVersion, if you've got some kind of app or computer or iPad or any kind of deal that you can get YouVersion, it tracks it for you. It tracks it for you. If you get behind, it sends you an email saying, hey, you're behind. You need to get caught up. It's just a neat program. I've done it twice on this one. If you don't have that available, we got these Bible plans. One of them is the one that I use. And I love this one because it takes it in order of events. You do know that the Bible is not in the way that it is that we have it, is not the order of events. In fact, in this one, you read 11 chapters in Genesis, and then you go to the book of Job, because that's the order in which it happened. Okay? So it's the chronological Bible. You can read it the old-fashioned way, by starting in Genesis, going through Revelation. If you'll read four chapters a day, there's 1,189 chapters in the Bible. If you'll read four a day, you'll finish in less than a year. There is the one-year Bible plan where you kind of skip around. We got a couple of those where you kind of skip around. And this one here, you'll read in a week's time. You'll read in the epistles, the law, history, psalms, poetry, prophecy, and the gospels. And you'll read through the Bible in a year. So we have those on the Welcome Center table out there. I challenge you in Jesus' name. To start reading the Bible. This is not a heaven or hell issue. But I think God, if you don't, God's going to say, hey, I sent you my Bible. There are men and women who died so that you could have this Bible. My son came and gave his life to bring you this good news. and you didn't think enough of it to even read it? That's not heaven and hell stuff. But boy, that's going to be, you're going to be standing there with no excuse. Oh, I'm just too busy. Really? No, you're not that busy. You can find 15 minutes a day, and that's all it takes to read your Bible through in a year. I don't want you to read it just so you can say you read it, and I'm trying to start something that will cause this church to become what it's designed to be. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge, and if we're going to walk in the divine nature of God, we have to be living and walking in His Word. It's not enough that you just come on Sunday and hear a wonderful message or a bad one. I'm kidding. It's not enough. You eat more than one meal a day, don't you? A lot of Christians eat three hot meals a day and one cold spiritual snack a week. You won't grow that way. You'll be anemic. You need to be reading the Word. It's in it that you find eternal life. It's in it that you find purpose and destiny. I want to pray for you. Father, Lord, I've laid it out. I've been obedient. Holy Spirit, I pray that you work in each and every heart. Lord, I didn't say this for people to feel guilty. I want them to be challenged to be all they can be for your glory and for your kingdom. Speak to their hearts. I thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Stand with me. Woo-hoo. You didn't know you was going to get that today, did you? There's one neat thing. When you accomplish something, and this is probably not spiritual, but it really feels good to accomplish something, a goal accomplished. And I felt pretty good yesterday when I finished it for the second time. I felt so good I started the new one. And so there are rewards for doing this, just natural rewards, but even greater than that. A year from now, if you'll do this, you'll look back and you'll be a lot closer to Christ than you've ever been before. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. Come back next week. We're going to talk about faith. You're dismissed.